Welcome to the State of Sports. My next guest is the biggest name that we've had on the show so far, Kukle Cook Sonkosi.
Jeez, that's Rafa Mobile was here last week.
Well, I mean, I've only had two guests, so I mean, it's a 50-50 chance. But Cook, it's great to have you in studio. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Lekker to see you as well. Obviously, last time I was in the office, so it's nice to be next to you, have a little chat for us.
Yeah, Cook, I mean, we've got quite a history. Or, I mean that in a good way. It's a good way to start a sentence. But Coach Cooks is, if you're not online, then you might not know him, but everyone's online nowadays. So obviously everyone knows Cooks. He's the master of the post-match interview. He achieved great fame, notoriety, or just general acknowledgement around being a funny dude who loves sport. And he managed to land the lead role, the dream role, of basically being Super Sports school guy, which essentially isn't a way of defining you, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So you go by Coach Cooks, just to give it a little bit of background. Cooks actually worked at our agency, Retroactive. He used to be from the Eastern Cape. That's another tangent we might not go into, that Uber drivers. So Cooks wanted to move to Joburg. It kind of gave him a chance just to kind of tread some water around content creation and see what the landscape's like. And naturally, Cooks was far too talented and far big of a deal to stay with us for too long. So I think it was beginning of this year that you started working for Supersport sort of full-time.
Yeah, sort of beginning of this year. We left you guys, unfortunately. And then now started with Supersport schools and sort of been traveling the country, been to so many schools. And yeah, it's been an absolute blast.
Okay, so before we get into that, I must actually tell you, this is a little inside story, but Cooks, he essentially resigned in January, right?
Yeah.
And I was happy for him because he got his dream role. But Cooks is a very nice, respectful guy, right? So he was going to resign, and he was like, look, I've got this opportunity. And all I could think about was, yeah, I want to high-five the guy. But at the same time, he's trying to be sad because he's trying to be polite. But Cooks, it really was such a cool thing. Like, when we first met you, I met you obviously through my business partner. It was at a pub. You were flying on the back end of a Tinder date. You're probably about 8 drafts in. And we just spitballed a couple of ideas. And that was, I think, like November. And then you're working with us by January. And now here we are, June 2022. You are traveling the country. You are pretty much the authority on what's happening in school sports right now. And I can't be happier for you, bro. I mean, you really have gone from strength to strength. And it's so great when you see someone who's got a genuine passion and a skill for something thriving in that realm.
No, thanks, Ben. I really appreciate it. I remember like moving to Joburg. Obviously, it still was such a big gap, big jump from teaching and working in an office for the first time ever with you guys, and learning a lot more content creation, the behind the scenes, sharing stories, which is now not what I do now, but now I can do it in a sports element of in school sports. And yeah, it has been a crazy year. I mean, it's been a lot less Tinder dates since I moved here. And but yeah, no, it's been lekker. I mean, like I said, I tell people all the time, I don't actually work for a living. I mean, I watch school sports and sit in airplanes every week.
If you do what you love, you won't work a day in your life.
100%.
Yeah, again, I've absolutely butchered Cook's intro, but essentially, he started out as a professional rugby player. You know, if you go somewhere into Spotify, I have a long conversation with my man here, and we go on about his life at the Kings, being quite disillusioned with professional rugby. He didn't get the sort of the greatest run with that. You then went into coaching, and you then went into teaching. And so you essentially, when people call you Coach Cooks, it's not just like an assumed title. You literally are the guy. So tell me about Supersport schools, because I think it's one of the greatest investments that Supersport can make. People don't often think about this, but I can be corrected here. But I think Supersport is the greatest investor in sport on the African continent, where they don't need to be. These guys make money. They're under siege in the streaming world as a business, but they keep investing in sport, and they are basically almost like the custodians of sport on the African continent. So tell us a bit more about Supersport Schools as a platform, because obviously we see it advertised. We see your face here and there talking about stuff. But what is the actual platform, and how did it kind of come about?
So, I mean, the main thing about Supersport Schools, how it came about, was lockdown and COVID. Kids... parents could not watch the kids play sports because, I mean, I remember last year I was still at Woodridge. Sports came back, but then it was like no spectators, no parents allowed. So parents are dropping off kids and can't watch. So we had parents sitting on trees and parents wanting to volunteer as car guards and wanting to just literally watch the kids play sports. I mean, we were lucky enough, we had the Springbok doctor, Corey van Hoek, and his son was in the first team, my coach. So he volunteered. Listen, guys, I don't mind being the team doctor. But also, he stands in the team, so you're like, well, I mean, it's a Springbok doctor, so you can't say no to it, but I mean, like, so it's a win-win for him. So with Supersport Schools, that was the goal, was we need to get more parents watching their kids playing sports. Because now, with COVID, it's impossible, and that was the the beginning of how can we get games shown for parents to watch, get it streamed. You can't, you won't be charged. It's going to be free. That was the initial, that was the mission for it. And then I sort of last year was, there was no sports. So it was kind of hard to get off the, to get the ball running. So like we were sort of pitching a dream and we don't know what's going on yet because we had this cool idea, but there's no sports. So then now you look now, this year, there's been so much sports where it's sort of grown to places we didn't even see it was coming because now it's all the sports and now there's so many games being streamed live. And so I think with Super Sport Schools, it's the biggest thing was getting parents to see kids play and also getting kids to watch their friends play. They may explain the big difference was compared to other, say, things that are being streamed or Super Sport or showing linear, like the first team games on linear TV. Is this what Super Sport Schools is? The difference is it's 14 days, 15 days, 16 days, all playing, being right. streamed. So if you put a camera in the one field, you get to watch, you can watch from the sixth to the first team where there's no other streaming site or schools model showing that. So that was the big difference, was seeing more kids on, more games stream, more people to watch kids play, and it's been an absolute game changer, especially now as the year's gone.
So I went to a traditional boys school in Cape Town, Windhoek Boys High, solid first team season this year. And I think it was like, I feel very privileged to have done so because of the structure it gave me and because as a kid I could go and play sport, and that's one of the greatest things. I mean, we'll agree on this, that as a kid growing up, sports teaches you so much. It gives you the kind of understanding that through adversity comes great success sometimes. What you put in is what you get out. You develop a kinship with your sort of peers and there's like common grounds and it's really good and you're outside and you're exercising. It's a no-brainer. It's brilliant. So when I look at that and look at all the different schools across the country, because it's not just like you would only working in Gauteng. It's not like you're just working in Cape Town. You have basically traversed the entire country. And I think another thing about, you know, the history of this country is that there were a lot of traditional schools that were made to develop the next generation of gentlemen and ladies that were going to shape the society of the world, really. That's what I think was at play there. So as a country, we have these amazing institutions across the country. And tapping into this, you're tapping into microcosms of people that only care about that. As much as you're a kid growing up, you want to watch the Springboks, you care about your team, right? Because it's your buddies. You go out there and you put your body on the line every Saturday. It was a great thing growing up playing rugby. Yeah. Your first team means something. So I think it's one of the greatest things to tap into. As from your side, like, how do you go out and choose the schools that you are kind of showcasing? I mean, do you guys kind of have like a roster of where you're going? Do you coincide with certain big sporting happenings coming up? Because obviously there's big derby games. You know, for example, if you don't live in South Africa, Paul Boys versus Paul Jim in the town of Paul.
Spoiler. It'd be the most both games. It's probably the biggest game of the year then, Paul.
The town comes to a standstill. It is the greatest thing. So there are so many different attractions. But, like, how do you, as Super Sport Schools, go about showcasing the kind of schools? Because you mentioned there's the streaming watching of the games. You go further than that. You actually showcase the schools as well. How do you guys develop episodes? How do you develop the content? And what's the planning around that?
So that's obviously, I think, there's two teams. There's the team that actually does the broadcast of the games, and the guys will go out, because what happened was Super Sport did, they bought out School Sports Live, which did a lot of the streaming. So what's happened is, with Super Sport obviously had been able to add their big commercial value, and obviously their funds, we're able to get a lot more, outsource a lot more streaming companies.
Sure.
So we can spread our wings from, to sort of get all over the country. So we always know what sort of games are happening and what, there's cameras in the Western Cape, Eastern Cape, so try to get all the big games, and then you try and split it up, like, okay, we did Grey last week, let's try to get to St. Andrews this week, we did so-and-so, but then obviously the bigger derbies, like K-Day is happening, and then Reunion, so...
What's K-Day?
It's St. Andrews versus Kingswood, it's massive in Grahamstown, so it's like...
You can't use the jargon with it. I'm bringing you in here because you're the expert to teach people about the state of school sport.
These things gave me still in there, so like... So for those sort of things, like, there's always those massive reunions, massive fixtures that, like, you know, if Paul Ross and Paul Jim are playing, it makes sense. So that has to be streamed. Sure. And but then also there's still the smaller schools that also need to get love as well. So then obviously my side is doing the highlight stuff, the blitz package. So what I choose from, I kind of look at what sports we've shown already. So I'm like, okay, we did a rugby feature last week. We did a hockey feature last week, let's sort of go and do netball and sort of try and dive deeper into the story behind this. So I try and find the story behind because you can actually find, you can go and find the game. I can go find a netball game going. So I'm like, my job is sort of find the story behind that. Okay, what makes playing first in netball so special? Okay, cool. That's the angle we're going to go shoot that week. And then we go pick a school from there. And then sometimes we're like, if it's, let's say, for example, it's in Andrews versus Kingswood, that's the biggest game of the weekend, then, yeah, we'll go down there and shoot that and be like, okay, also tie in the fact that it's Grahamstown and hasn't seen rugby like this for a while, or sports like this in a while, that ties into the story as well. So we should always try and find the behind-the-scenes story and not just the actual kids running on the field.
And obviously, the schools are very receptive to this. You don't have any issues with access and, you know, finding the stories.
No, you don't.
I mean, you literally can throw a dart at a map and you know you're going to find a school and a story.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard for a school. I mean, like, the whole one exposure, right? Schools want you, it's like, listen, it's going to be in Blitz. So not many schools will be like, no, we don't want that. So it's like, especially when you explain to them what we're trying to do, and we're not trying to, you know, I think, you know, the standard, this is the first team, here's the captain.
Yeah.
You want to sort of tell a different story, paint a picture that's what makes school sports special. It's not just the guys who run in the field. There's a story behind it. That's why we all love our schools. You know, like you said, sport teaches all these values. So school sports, there's so many, all those, there's plenty of stories you can tell. So that's what me and my team, we try to do.
And I guess another real benefit of the Super Sports Schools platform is to encourage participation. So when you think school sports, you think rugby, and you think of the big traditional first team.
Yeah.
Got it. So they kind of sell themselves, especially if you're an overseas talent scout, because you can pick up a lot of talent there.
Yeah, exactly.
Early on.
Like, you know, some of the schools you deal with, they'll be like, oh, man, you're like, a lot of people are like, well, you have to go to the major team. Like, you have to go to St. John's first team game. Like, guys, like anyone's going to go watch that anyway. Like, you don't need me to put that on Blitz for you to sell it. Everyone's going to watch that game. Like, and especially in South Africa, in school, first team rugby is probably bigger than some provincial games.
Well, I would say it's probably on a par with the latter stage of the Currie Cup.
Yeah.
Well, it's actually quite hard to, yeah, because there's a lot more emotion in school sports because of the history.
100%.
So the reason I wanted to get into that about participation is, what are some of the sports that you've covered so far that have been kind of unexpected, or you find that it's actually a lot more popular than you thought?
Basketball, I think, especially up here in Gauteng, it's massive. I think, I went to one of the earliest things we covered last year, probably our first Super Sport feature, school's feature, was the St. John's basketball tournament. And in my mind, I was like, geez, I'm like, basketball in the Eastern Cape. I mean, I know Grey plays it, and like St. Andrews, and like, all the elite schools play. And then you come out here, and there was tons of schools from Soweto, government schools, private schools, and you're like, jeepers, how is basketball such a big sport?
Well, it kind of makes sense. Like, you know, okay, I'm quite a lot older than you, but you still at a time at school where rugby was so traditionally strong.
Yeah.
But if you look at kids nowadays, our role models are, there's the 40-year-old. the kids today, their role models have changed so much.
Yeah.
Like, the NBA is far more aspirational to watch than the Currie Cup.
Mm.
Well, no slight in the Currie Cup, but you'll probably find kids will be wanting to know where LeBron James is going
100%.
Next, rather than Vikas van Heerden, who might play for Griquas next year.
Yeah.
So it actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And again, like, you can quantify this because you're on the ground like that. So basketball is obviously something that kind of makes sense. It's actually very popular.
And it's like, and it's crazy how big it is. And you think, and you're sort of going, you have to showcase things like that. And then, like, obviously, I mean, I've watched probably plenty of netball games and plenty of, I've watched hockey, tennis, and athletics. I think those are the most. But, like, I think the ones that basketball definitely took me, like, just surprised me by how big it is. I think netball as well. And it's been great, especially, like, netball's been amazing because I know the World Cup's coming in next year.
Sure.
But it's nice to see the number of kids that actually play. I was in Kimberley in Wilderclover, and the netball there, like, the final was, it was so full on the court that you could barely find a place to stand, and the stands full of parents, people just cheering. I mean, on the rugby field, I think it was Diamantfeld was host school. I think they were playing the Monuments. It was a massive game of rugby happening just across the road. And you find, like, people were just, like, they're just so invested in the netball and so invested at what was happening there. And you sort of go, okay, cool, there's something growing here. You sort of see, like, okay, if this is happening at one festival, when you've been to other festivals and it's been the same for something like netball, you're like, whew, puts us in good state for next year in the World Cup. It means there's an interest growing in sports. And what we find is, because it's being streamed and people can watch it and kids can watch it, they want more games to be played. They want to play. If I told you, you have a chance to be, if I go on YouTube, I can watch you play netball, of course I'm going to watch my mate play. And that's what you've seen. Like, that's also helped the interest in the participation has grown because of games being streamed. And so, like I said, it's then the 49ers are being streamed. There's a festival in the 49ers. Then the 15A's are being streamed. So I can, like, if you're at home, I can watch on the 14A rugby netball. It's just like a win-win.
It is a real win-win because then kids are putting a lot more pride in their performance as well. So, I mean, I remember, again, I'll try not to reference my high school too because it was like, it was a different world, basically.
Weinberg's doing well this year, so I think it's a good year to reference Weinberg.
If I were to look at the current Weinberg first team versus my year, I don't think those Oaks would keep them under 60 points. They are so conditioned. They are so cohesive. They are so talented. I was back in the day of the 90s. You give it to the big Oak, he'll get over the advantage line, and from there, we might swing it right to like the fast Oak. There was no in-between. Now everyone's like a game player. I want to get to that because there's a point around I want to make, but I subsequently lost the initial point that I had. So when the kids are on there, obviously there's a lot of pride in performances. They take practice a lot more seriously because they're playing to something. You give them a real tangible sort of goal. Do you think that maybe the kids are, have you seen it, that maybe take it too seriously? Are there structures where, because sport, again, it's a fun thing, right? You talk about participation because you want to have fun. Have you seen maybe examples where maybe it's a little bit too serious in schools in certain instances? I mean, like, do you get the stereotypical overbearing parents and that kind of thing that you have noticed?
Oh, yeah. I think even before super sports schools, that was happening.
I'm not saying super sports schools is the result of
that. No, 100%. No, I just think, you do, obviously. I think, I mean, I spend a lot of time on the sidelines. Obviously, when I'm done shooting, I tend to stay and watch the games, and you do see...
Have a brewery roll.
Of course, a brewery roll, bacon and egg roll. that's only the combo, bacon and egg in the morning and brewery roll before the first team.
Sure.
You do sort of see the overbearing parents, and you do sort of see how hectic it gets. I mean, I'll tell a story. I mean, at Grey lost... Actually, your boys to Weinberg this year down in PE. Grey P. And Grey P is a good side.
But lost that game to Weinberg.
Lost to Weinberg, and... The first team rugby side got absolutely like peppered and hammered on social media. All boys calling out players, calling out 18-year-olds, saying, calling them useless,
rough,
don't deserve to play the game. And I'm like, but guys, a couple of weeks ago, the same great team beat Rondebosch, who was also having a great year this year. So it's like, but you see them play, you come back one time a year, you watch your boys play, they lose, now all of a sudden they're useless, right? I went to go watch the Mansburg reunion. They played Hilton. Hilton's got a very, very good side this year. Hilton beats the Mansburg side and should have been. The Mansburg's a good side. I mean, they're fourth of the country. So, you know, you stay back having a couple of cold beers after the game, and then you overhear the whole boys, first team rugby's, Mansburg rugby's struggling. I'm like, guys, your 14A's won, 15A's won, 16A's won, second team pumped Michael House. You lost a game. They're just like, useless. And like, can't believe it. And you're like, there's not a context, right, anymore. And you're like,
I'm glad you say that. It's definitely the C word with those people. Like, you've got to have a context with it. So, you know, like, we wax lyrically about how great it is there's more exposure for these kids, but more exposure comes more pressure.
100%.
And I think it's exactly what it is. You've got to keep in the context of that.
Yeah.
Now these kids almost become targets because they're well-known. And we see it in those American football high school movies. You know, we've seen that for many years because they're so far advanced from us. It's almost like these kids now have this new problem because they are more sought after, they're more recognizable, they get a lot more scrutiny. So, I mean, it's going to be par for the course, really. I don't think they've got much of a choice in that. It's like it's the give and take of the spectacle.
Yeah, because like I said, it's because of now it's being streamed. And also, you can cut clips. I see now on TikTok, for example, you see school highlights of boys sidestepping, someone doing something. So it's now like there's good and bad, right? The good is there's more exposure for the kids, and you sort of there's more lucrative kids on social media all the time. You see all the time. You see highlights all the time. But also, if your team loses, I can go watch them and go straight into on Twitter and vent and be like, man, they're number 13 from Paul Jim, I can't believe he's playing first in rugby. Bear in mind, I played eights at school. Now I can sit there and be like, I can't believe this. And then I sit there like, guys, they're still kids at the end of the day.
But I almost feel like this should be built into it now. You know, I would like to know, and again, you probably don't have the answer for this because you're only at a school for a small time period. But I mean, like with social media being what it is and the excess like exposure they get, are people consoling these kids and saying, look, guys, yes, you want to give your best. Yes, you want to be the best player out there. You want to make Craven Week. You want to get a contract with someone. But you're going to fuck up a little bit. And I'm sorry to say that, but you are. And I'd like to think that is being addressed by these teams and schools in general.
Yeah, I think so. I know Graham, the Craig P, a lot of the other rugby captains down there, and so he's very good at dealing with situations like that. But like, I worry about, like the some guys at smaller schools which maybe don't have the resources to have guys deal with that. Because the thing is, like, when you go from where they interview the kid from Jorenzo Julius from Paul Rose, great kid, like, just unbelievable rugby player.
Is he the scrum half?
He's the center, the guy with the world's biggest thighs, and he's just, like,
there's some insane talent coming out of that
team. And then, very good. And then he talks about, like, how his life changed now because he gets a clip on social media, a couple of trials he created goes viral because of the way he tried against Paul Jim. Gets about over a million views on TikTok. Now, after games, kids are waiting to get a picture with him from opposition schools.
That's weird. That's like...
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's like his life, again, going back to, like, say, 10 years ago. That would have been his life 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He's now having it now at a very impressionable age of, like, 17, 18.
100%. And it's like... This is happening now, and it's, you know, going to deal with that. That's sort of like, how does a 7-year-old deal with that? And it's like, because this is also, everyone's still, the app's still new, and this whole game's being streamed, it's still new to all of us. I mean, like, we said, like, man, a year ago, we'd not think that Super Schools would be where it is now.
Sure.
So now we're also like, almost like, this is going beyond our wildest expectations as well. So it's like, how do the kids deal with it? Because they're just happy to play, and now it's like, yeah, you're 17-year-old, and you got, probably one of the most recognizable faces in the country in terms of a rugby space, and that's what the app can, the good and the bad of it. Also, it allows you to get scrutinized.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, the genie's out of the bottle there, but again, to reference American sports, that's how it always was.
Yeah.
You know, there was this really cool episode of South Park, to exaggerate this point that we're making, is I think it was... obviously South Park, the kids are like 8 or whatever, and then they've got an American football game against like their rival school, and Stan is made to be the quarterback, but now he's quarterback, he's like, he's the most famous guy in the town, and he's like 8, he doesn't care, he doesn't even like the sport, and then I think it was Mr. Garrison that said, you know, Stan did something and then he was meant to be punished. It's like, no, he's the quarterback, he's better than us, he can do whatever he wants. So these kind of, I know it's an exaggerated story, but these kind of pressures are on the kids.
100%.
But it kind of has happened in other markets. It's just interesting to see that, you know, this is something to realize for the first time in South African markets.
Yeah.
Whether it be good or bad, that's now, I mean, it's not even like something to rediscuss much further. Like, this is now the reality.
Yeah.
And if you are going to take it to the next level, suddenly when you get into that Bulls under 19 team or the Province under 19 team or the Sharks under 21 going to Currie Cup, these guys are kind of more prepared, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is also, to look at more of the positive, if from a springboard towards professionalism, you don't exactly go there too wet behind the ears anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you do get there, you get exposed early. Because, I mean, back in the day, you kind of knew who the good players were. Yeah. Like, oh man, I saw Jan Serafontaine at the festival. I saw him play one game. You kind of half track and you see if you... But now it's like, okay, cool. So and so is, I think, Jorenzo Julius is good. When's Paul Rose playing? Boom, go on the app. Okay, cool. I can just watch him on the weekend.
Mm.
Whereas now there's more access to these guys. When it's like,
sure, and it like, needs to be prolonged. And but I guess
it has to be like that, yeah.
But I guess also what happened, and again, this is another positive I want to get to on Super Sports Schools platform, is that I think in the beginning, again, I grew up in Cape Town, so
yeah.
my reference is towards this, that if you wanted to make the Western Province Craven Week side, you went to a Paul school, or Paul Rose.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Bishops, and maybe they would look at you at Weinberg or Sachs or Ronnebosch.
Yeah.
But now with this, it has spread the net a whole bunch wider, and I think it is. It's a great thing to uncover this sort of talents. As much as there might be pitfalls to these being more serious, the net is so far and wide now, because as you say, like, 20 kids could have a million views on TikTok of their amazing sites.
100%.
Whereas in the past, you would know that the coach of Paul Roos knows the Craven Week coach, so the inside center for them is going to play.
Yeah.
Sure, the kid's probably remarkable, because just be honest, these school structures are there for a reason. They do get the best talent. But it's so nice to know that with the exposure and what you guys are doing, the net is so wide, and we are going to uncover so many different parts of like the talent that might have gone through the cracks.
And then some of the guys who... Like, you know, I think it's, for me, like, I've never been, like, the old trial system we used to have, you know what I mean? Like, you get Weinberg, all the schools come together, you do trials, and there's 150 players, and somehow you pick a 30, whereas, like, now it's, you can go and watch different games at different times, different players at different times, and you have more information, because you have more games and more exposure, you can see the kids
great.
Play.
No, that's positive.
You can, like, sort of pick a team from there, but from there, you can sort of discover talent to where, you know, whereas, like, maybe, like, one of the sevens guys go, listen, oh, we saw this guy playing. We watched Paul Rose in this festival. They're playing so-and-so. This guy goes to a smaller school. We saw him there. Boom. You know the guy's playing sevens. And I think it's like, that's the beauty of it. I think the more games you show, the more kids get exposed to more kids get exposed to, you know, what happens life after school and getting contracts. So I think it's like a win-win. You can pick up proper Craven Week sides and proper provincial sides because you actually have – it's not Ben coming and playing one trial game, but he's had a horrible season, rest of it. But today he's had a good game. Now he's better than the guy who's been playing out of his socks. But now he can go, okay, well, Ben's good. Let me go back and look at – got a couple of games I can look at and see. I can stop. I can cut. I can go through the whole clips. Okay, Ben's actually not having a good season, but he had a good trial game. But actually he can't do what we need him to do. But – which is, I hope, how the coaches and the provincial sides can use this.
Well, it should do. Because, yeah. I mean, ultimately, that's what you guys are creating here. You're creating a resource. Sure, yeah. you're connecting communities. I think that's a big step out of this whole thing. You're giving access that maybe wasn't there previously. You're encouraging participation. And from the other side of that, the elite side of things, you are creating a springboard like no other. So it's just there are so many incredible positives. And I only wanted to caveat the negative just to have a more balanced discussion.
Yeah.
Because the two of us can go on tangents all day and talk about rugby for an hour. So just getting back to rugby, there are a couple of questions I want to ask you post that. But like one of the things that every year I say but never do is I want to go and watch some of these really great derbies because – if you didn't go to a traditional school where rugby meant something on a Saturday morning, I think you missed out of a certain part of culture in this country. And I know that it has evolved so much since the 90s when that was my love, my absolute life. I look at that Weinberg first team now, and everything about it is different. The way they play, the chaos afterwards. It's just so cool because that's 20 years evolution.
Yeah.
That's 20 years of more opportunities to kids from different backgrounds. And the net result is just nothing but phenomenal. What are some of, like, if you were to put together a top five derby matches that you would like to go to, what do you, like, give us your sort of feel on that?
That's a good question because, I didn't go to traditional big school. I mean, we had chairs and we had rugby, but, like, I'm always just be like a school's nerd. I mean, since I was a kid, like, I loved, you always look, what are the big games, what's happening. So, like, now I get to live that and it's been awesome. I mean, I got to go one of the best ones I've been to, Maritzburg versus Hilton. Just sort of like the vibe, cheering, and Maritzburg is just a great place to go and watch to go rugby. Feels great, great setting. It's always a good vibe there.
It's definitely the best thing to do in Maritzburg.
Yeah, I would say one of the best things to do in Maritzburg. I got to Grey P versus Queens. That was good. But Grey P is reunions. They're the opening of the Kulisi Field. Grey P was also a good time there. I mean. Like, you know, for me, it's always about I love the cheering. The cheering makes it for me, like, and they're always originals. They always come up with new songs. Hilton is an absolute vibe wherever. So, my partner who I travel with, he says, cause he's also a cameraman, he says, Hilton is one of the best, cause a lot of the schools, like, they have like this structured cheering and they sort of just sit and like, it's old school songs. Hilton just feels like they've got a guy on a drum. And they just go wild and just vibe for about 70 minutes. Helps their first team is amazing.
Yeah, it's
amazing. Yeah, they just, but like it seems like there's no like structure, like no, they're just going bonkers for about 70 minutes. They even like go back and forth out of school. They just like here, like they do the old blazer things, but they just, after a while, it's just, you look there, it's like a party's happening there. So any Hilton game, Hilton's is definitely great. Bishops is...
So obviously Hilton Michael House is the
Hilton
big...
Hilton Michael House,
that's
yeah.
That's like the Midlands derby.
Yeah, that's massive. I'll say Grey P... Anytime Grey P is playing Reunion, I think Maritzburg is also a great shout. St. Mary's, Waverley here. When they play, I think they play St. Andrews. That's a great game. I had a really good time going to St. Mary's. I think
hang a second, we're still talking rugby. We'll get on to
it.
I mean, unless St. Mary's are doing something exceptional, I don't
know about. Bishops Rondebosch. I was there 2 weeks ago. That's also a great fixture to be at. And lastly, I'll say any of Queens and Dale, either home or away. Stellenbosch gives a shout, but I think Queens and Dale is a fantastic fixture to be at.
I've noticed that all the things you mentioned there are from your very traditional kind of rivalries. You know, Gauteng, like the school systems here aren't traditionally as, you know, losing words here. But like, what about like sort of Uffies? Like what's Uffies as big?
Yeah, I mean, Uffies is great. I think obviously like Uffies Grey Bloom is one of the biggest. Uffies Gasfontein is,
right.
Okay. Is quite big. Uffies Monas, I think that those are great. I think obviously whenever Grey Bloom's around, Grey Bloom, Paul Roots, you know, those, I always find those fixtures, I enjoy them from a rugby, like a purely rugby stand form. But I always say like, that's a game I wouldn't mind almost sometimes watching, you know, from TV. But But like, when I'm at the, like a, those traditional, like a Dale Queens game, the day is just great. You know, there's great cheering. There's great, the whole day is a vibe. And again, it's just, it's a lot more than just the rugby that's happening on the field. But I mean, you get the classics. I mean, like Greg Bloom and Paul Roos is always a great game. I mean, watching Greg Bloom live is something special. I want to say to people, like, it's, you see how good, you know, you hear how good they are, and you watch them play rugby, you're like, okay, I get it. And it's not like it's the world's biggest team. They just do the basics better than anyone else. They just they beat you. They literally just out rugby you.
It's such a culture of excellence
there. Yeah, exactly. It's like they rack better than you, they pass better than you, they kick better than you, and you see it. And when you watch them, it's like, I don't know, it's like remember the All Blacks or someone like when that aura of invincibility, when you see them, you're almost like you get excited, like you get a little like, I remember when I watched them at Wilderclub, I haven't seen them live for like many years. Yeah, like, the way they just run out, you're like, oh, it just seems different. Like the schools that are great, then they're just operating on this, and then shame they lost to Paul. I mean, they lost to Paul Jim the second day, and they played at 7 o'clock, and it felt like a test match. Like the town, Kimberley went to a standstill, everyone was there, but everyone, whatever was happening, everyone just stopped because there was like the two biggest schools in the country playing.
Yeah,
and it felt like a test match, and it just felt it was like tense. It was like. And then obviously Paul Jim won, but then like Grey Bloom since then have just been giving out hidings to everyone. It's almost as if it's payback for that. But yeah, like you get those games like as a rugby fan, as a spectacle, it's great. It's like the elite of the elite schools. It's such a massive difference. You like.
Well, it just reminds you that you don't have to have the biggest stars in the sport to have the 100%. Biggest spectacle. And I think it's like what you said there with the crowd and the atmosphere. It's like high stakes for them because for a lot of them, it's the last year of their high school.
100%.
So they give it everything. And I think that's why we should all probably make an effort to not just watch the stuff in super sport schools, but to physically go out there and support these things if you're in the area. Like, I do want to do it. And especially what you just said now. I mean, there's more than enough fixtures for me to go and just watch in the Cape. Up here, I could probably make more of an effort. So we know rugby in this country is doing particularly well right now. We just had the United Rugby Championships, All South African Final. Stormers won, naturally. Great season, just doing so well. We've got so much depth in Springbok squads nowadays. It just seems like rugby, from the level that you're speaking about here, all the way to the top, we're just getting it right. I always wonder about football in this country. And I wonder, because rugby, all the things you spoke about now, these are great feeder systems.
Yeah.
We've got kids who are growing up, they're learning about the basics, they're learning about excellence, they're very competitive, and they're being primed for the pro ranks. That's what our school structure is, and I think it's the best in the world. I think whenever we see age group teams playing against other countries, our just always win. But the sport of soccer, now, is there quite a lot of popularity in the schools that you've gone to? Are a lot of schools playing soccer? Do they even offer it? And what's the current state? I mean, obviously, there's no comparison here with rugby. Yeah. But just let me know, like, what's the participation like as a sport?
I've been to a couple of, or several, like, soccer festivals and like, tournaments, and it's not the same, Ben. It's not like, I don't mean to compare to rugby, but it's just like, it's just not the same.
Well, it's hard not to because we're so consumed by it because it's so awesome. Let's be honest, that's what it is.
And it's like it's the biggest sport in the country, right? In terms of numbers but like it's just not the same backing at schools as like rugby gets. And I think I know soccer's not heavy on club players and academies, but it's like there's no like you know big derbies and happening. I know like the schools in Joburg and Durban do the thing where in the third term everyone plays soccer.
Right.
Which is great. I mean, it means more participation. Like now, all the Jersey schools and all the Cavaliers, their rugby season's done now. So when they get back off in the next term, they're playing soccer.
Okay.
Which is a great change. I mean, all the big traditional schools, you know, the Kezzers and the St. Albans, Michael Lyles, Hilton, and they play soccer now. So I think that does help boost the numbers for soccer, but it's different.
Right. So hang on a second. I'm going to stop you there.
Yeah.
What if you go to the schools you just mentioned now and you're a prop? You're not the next Ronaldo. You're a prop. You want to make the Lions team. Do you play soccer, or do you now go play for a club to keep competitive to make the most of that last year?
Well, what I heard is a lot of guys, because the traditional school, they built a case around playing soccer and they made it such an exciting thing. A lot of guys do play, even if they play for the third team, just to mess around, play soccer with your mates, sort of thing where. They couldn't have pointed to it. Like some guys play sevens. I know sevens rugby is quite big in the third term in KZN. So, but most of the guys, if they play soccer and they make soccer such a draw where you want to actually, and soccer is a fun sport. I mean, that's the nice thing about soccer. Soccer is such a great sport where if I'm playing fourth team, give me a ball, spend some time, kick a soccer ball around. But I think with soccer, the backing comes from, it's tough when you go to these festivals and you sort of, you go to a rugby festival and you sort of see 20,000 people in the stands. You see all these gazebos and there's things up. There's beer tents. There's vases. People like leave their house to go and watch 18-year-olds play rugby.
Yeah.
But not many people leave their house. If you tell me that there's a school soccer game happening and it's, that's the hard thing.
So it'd be fair to say that we speak about rugby schools. There's no such thing as a soccer or football school.
No, I think, I mean, there are some schools, but like, it's like, for me, it's like, I don't even know the school as much. I know, like, it's that's, and I work at the gap, but it's like, that shows, I mean, and I love soccer.
Mm.
And, but I always say, I think that's the one thing in the country, I think soccer, we haven't gotten right. And I think it's something that we, you know, like, I know staff is working, but something that we need to get right at schools. We need to have a pathway that sort of shows how to go from schools, academies, into professional setup.
Totally. I mean, that's the reason I'm bringing it up, because it's so obvious when you look at rugby, you look at cricket, you speak about sports like basketball coming to the fore now, these kind of newer sports, so to speak. But then you look at soccer, sorry, I still got the occasional every 2 hour cough, but you look at the most participated sport, so to speak, and we know it's because it's across the board here.
Yeah.
You know, because I always feel like if you're an absolute athlete and you go to one of these schools, they push you towards a school, a sport like rugby.
Yeah.
Because it's just a much bigger draw card.
Yeah.
So then the kids who end up playing the other sports, they're not the cream of the crop, so to speak, physically, dedication,
but some schools don't even have
skills.
But some schools don't even have soccer. I mean, when I was at Restring, they said, we're not even having soccer because there's a lot of kids here who start playing rugby and they'll go play soccer. And some kids got like, we had a kid who was first team rugby, first team cricket, first team hockey. Unbelievable sportsman. Could have gone professionally in any other sport. Mm. As soon as he's finished school, boom, sorry guys, I'm going to play soccer. We're going to play professional soccer now. So it just shows, and there, he was playing club soccer, and there's no like, he was playing at a school, and the school was doing this, and this, and this, and this. In bed school, because obviously, like, we're like, we can't let you play hockey, rugby, and soccer in winter. Like, your body's going to break down.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, so just on that, because, I mean, if you look at someone, again, like, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but a school like Uffies, I brought them up earlier.
Yeah.
Their school is next to Loftus, basically.
Yeah.
It's Loftus High.
Yeah.
It's blue balls high.
Pretty much, yeah.
If you do pretty well there, there's a very good chance that you get, they're going to put you into Tuckies, the Pretoria University, and then you've got a path to build under 19 and 21.
100%.
So you can kind of see that structure just to you really show the point of these feeder systems. Do you think it's in the kind of interest maybe of PSL teams to go, all right, guys, our feeder system, maybe they've got academies. Again, I'm not too clued up on this. I just know that there's clearly not something that's being done very well considering the depth and like the higher honors. Is there maybe like valid, well, so is it valid for, say, like Orlando Pirates or, I don't know, Morocco Swallows or whoever you want to like take from different divisions to say, we're going to target five schools and we want to kind of maybe collaborate on how we can support the sport of football within these teams? I mean, would that be something that you think 100%. Is viable going forward?
I think it's something if I was teams I'd be doing all the time. I mean, I know most of PSL sides have got academies. If I was part of an academy, I'll be like, for example, there are very talented kids playing in good schools here in Joburg. You know, I mean, talented kids, you see them here, like the St. Stadium's first team is a very good soccer side. So why can't a side of kids be like, hey, listen, we're going to plug some of our academy coaches, get there, also do the coaching for the schools, but you're also recruiting. So you must going.
So that, yeah, that'll be my next point. And again, and the reason I'm bringing it back to you here is that the vehicle and the platform has been created by you guys here. How cool to be like, okay, Sundowns players are going to go to a Pretoria school and we're going to do a little training clinic.
Yeah.
So once a month, first Tuesday every month, we're going to do this. See the cool talent. The kids that are really good, come watch the game.
Yeah.
See the players beforehand in the change room kind of thing. And like that, first and foremost, great content for you guys. Secondly, you're getting a feeder system here. You're getting 100%. A culture of like, okay, so I'm good at this, which means in a few years I can be there.
Yeah.
Because when kids start to visualize these things, suddenly they know what they're working towards. Everyone needs a goal, right?
100%. Even soccer in general, like school soccer in general, it's like you're not going to go from here to where rugby is now. That's a model that's grown through time. So exactly. At least have a model where it goes, even like a model like a hockey model. Like hockey is also, it's a massive sport. In school-wise, it's probably bigger at school than it is in our country than it is after school.
Mm.
So it's like, even in school, where soccer's in between, it sort of finds a way to balance us from like schools, but quiet, it's clubby, but then sometimes, but professionally, it's massive. But there's clearly something happening in development here that's not helping us for the national side. And something, I think the schools is where they got to get it right and sort of try to get it in a place where it is as accessible as what rugby is as popular as what school rugby is. I think that's for me is the next step for school sports at soccer level.
Well, I just think that where you guys are, I'm going to give you a couple of ideas you can work on, but I just think you can bridge that gap. You know, even if it's other sports like netball, cricket, hockey, you find the professional pathway that's like the top of the spectrum, and you break it down, like, what schools are going to be part of that? You know, like, Ajax had that great plan with Ajax Cape Town.
Yeah.
It didn't work out, unfortunately, but, I mean, Ajax in Amsterdam used to be Champions League winners. They were huge, right? Yeah. So it's quite cool to have a feeder system from around the world. I think the powers that be just wanted a holiday in Cape Town because I don't think they've got the talent they wanted. But it was a really cool idea to kind of use that, actually, to go by that. And then your guys' platform is going to be the one broadcasting that.
Yeah.
So we're going to finish off with this because I think this might take a while to really discuss. But I think one of the coolest ideas, because I'm sure you guys have got many ideas going forward now, how you're going to evolve the tech, how you're going to evolve the innovations around broadcasting, how you're going to evolve the showcasing of things. But again, going back to American schools, American schools, that's a bad example. American sport, they've always been so far ahead of us. These NFL, are they called Columbine things? Combines.
Yeah.
Combines. Definitely don't want to say that word. Yeah. So the combines, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know what they are, me included clearly by my description, is that it's an incredible skill showcase. So they do it in like basketball, American football, for example. So say, for instance, you're a scout and you want to find a wide receiver. You guys got to run for a ball, right?
Yeah.
What's his 40-meter time? And then that's what they do. They broadcast stuff like live, and then they'll have – say that, for instance, there's 50 applicants who want to get a wide receiver contract at an NFL team. Cool. All 50 of them are about to run 40 meters, and we're going to find out who the fastest is. And over 2 or 3 days, you'll then have all the different stats. I think there'll be something so incredibly special for you guys to now run with this. So I'm going to start with rugby because, obviously, the most attention. You are going to have a combine around all the first – so if you're in a school first team, you get to come to the Super Sports School with combine.
Mm.
So, obviously, do it in the time of year wherever it's quite accessible, outside of exam times or whatever. That would be absolute content gold. Then, again, it further cements you guys as being, like, this is the next step for the people. Can you imagine a rugby combine, how amazing that would be?
Yeah, that'd be wild. I mean, like, all the things you can do, like, you know, tackling, passing. Like, this guy says the best pass. Okay, cool, let's see him pass into a bucket 20 times, and you sort of see it, and it's...
Well, that's exactly it.
I mean, the combine, that's what it is. It's a showcase of all your skills. You watch the combine, you literally get excited to see how high a guy can jump. You're like,
so if you want to talk about viral value, you've got the combine, and you're getting individual clips of a guy running a 40 meter, and he's like, okay, let's just say he comes out in like 4.2 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
That clip's going to get hundreds of thousands of views.
Yeah.
You got a feature where the hooker's got to throw a ball 20 times through the thing. I mean, there's big stakes on that, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You've got a guy who claims to be able to kick a place from 60 meters. So, because you guys have got the ball rolling so well with this, I think these are the cool things to look forward to going ahead. Same with cricket, you can do different sort of skill sets. Netball players.
Yeah.
Seeing who's the person with the highest reach, the highest jump, and all these different sort of performance aspects, you then getting – I know it's, you might not want to focus on the elite level of things because you might be then becoming a little bit too exclusive.
Yeah.
But there is absolute content gold with all of these different things, which I'm sure that you've discovered.
Yeah, 100%.
You just got to tee it up, like Cooks' Combine.
Yeah.
There you go. Like, it's his own show, Cooks, right there.
So you're saying you can pause to me now.
I'll even write the script. I'm not trying to look for work here. I'm just saying. You guys have got the ball rolling on something so incredible here, I think.
Yeah, I think.
And everything that you shared with me now in this short period of time just shows that, like, it's like how much do you want to do?
Yeah,
it's such a great formula for success.
Yeah, for us, it's like, you know, from what I've seen, it's been a year now. I mean, I think it was May, we passed a year. And in that year, I mean, there's obviously, this is, it kind of feels like the first 6 months, we're sort of getting the ball rolling now. We sort of, the game's happening. So now for us, it's like, geez, where else can we take this? And, you know, we've got the Creative Week coming up now. So it's like more chance for us to create content. And for us, it's just like, we can't just be a streaming site. We can't just be, because... Yes, we started off as a site that allowed the parents and kids to watch the kids play sports, but now we can become bigger than that. Yes, we can still be that, but we can be a lot more than that. I think that's what we try and sort of be like. Yes, we want to be a number one is when we want people to watch sports, want kids to showcase, parents want to watch their kids. That's still the number one goal. If my son's playing in Durban, I can't get there. He's playing foot in there. I still get to watch him from home. I think that's the big thing. But like now, there's so much room to grow and create content. And for me, and like we always talk about that retro, like just telling stories. There's sharing those stories, creating more stories. There's more stories behind the still to come. It's like athletic season's coming up now. I mean, like, I'm away, I think, next week of doing the provincial stuff. That's stories in itself, like all the provincial tournaments coming up. So, yeah.
I mean, like, track meets, again, that's wonderful because you do so many different things.
Yeah, I mean, athletics is, like, fun. I mean, that's, like, content. Like, I mean, everyone loves seeing someone run fast or jump really high. It's, you know, it's not the most simple thing with sport. Like, if you watch Usain Bolt run 9 meters, it's really fun to watch someone run really fast.
Yeah. And push the shot point out there.
Yeah, like it's like
throw a javelin, jump high.
It's like a fun thing to watch. And it's like, that's what I see with athletics. And it's like, it's really cool to showcase things like that where they weren't normally showcased before, you know. And it's like, water polo. And I watch so much water polo. It's all year now. It's like a sport where I never hardly used to have interest in. I'm like, oh man, this is actually a really cool sport, you know. I've jumped in a pool as well. I'm like, this is an extremely difficult sport as well.
So it's difficult. Just treading water, let alone some guy pushing you and not throwing a ball.
And you're like, okay, cool. So this is actually what it is, and it's sort of. And I think for us, it's great to showcase them because I mean, some like water polo, hockey, those sports. What Mr. said is like, it's not as big when you leave school. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, hockey in school is massive. Friday nights are some of the best nights I watch sports. Like St. Mary's from girls, like it's crazy down there. Like when the hockey's on, like the cheering, and you're like, man, like how? And we're at retro, and we struggle to send Olympics to Olympics, and you know, then you go back to school, and you're like, because there's 3,000 people here cheering.
Yeah, it just falls way off your school.
Yeah, that's crazy. You can go ahead and attend that about as
no,
well.
We can, but I mean, I think hockey and water polo and netball, they all kind of suffer because there's no professional ranks that have been around for a while. I think netball now with the World Cup coming up, that might change things.
Yeah.
And ultimately, there just has to be that sort of top part of the food chain.
100%.
And for them, they're sort of bottom out, well, they're middle out, so to speak.
Yeah.
They're great at school, participation is up, but there's not a demand for it in the professional ranks.
Yeah.
And it is unfortunate. So the last thing I want to get into in our chat today, I mean, we can have this chat in a few months' time again, I think more like summer orientation, because I'd love to get into the dynamics of cricket.
Yeah.
I think cricket is another sort of sport that there is going to be so much potential which hasn't been used. 100%. And I think that they're going through a transitional phase right now as an administration. But esports, is that something that you have covered anything so far on a school level? Is that going to be like a priority for some schools? Is that a focus going forward, do you think?
No, we haven't covered it. It's not something you ever spoke about or covered. I think could be something we look forward to in the future. Because now I think I've seen at schools, I mean, just, you know, going to Twitter, it's getting quite big at schools. And it's something that schools and kids are really, really, really interested in. It's something that, so the kids go like, listen, this is what I'm good at. I might be good in the field, but esports is where I thrive.
Well, if you just look at we just restarted a campaign around sim racing.
Yeah.
And if kids are watching Formula One, they're going to watch that. They're not just going to go outside and start kicking a ball around. They're going to want to try to learn how to race.
Yeah, 100%.
And because, like we spoke about, like you said, like the rise of basketball on the back of celebrity culture, right? Because it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time until the esports are going to have that sort of prominence. And as much as I'm a get outside, get away from screens kind of person, you've got to be like understanding of where kids' attention is going.
Yeah.
And I think esports is probably something that could grow. I mean, can you imagine like Formula One school level?
Yeah.
So kids obviously then playing against each other. And 100%. Because online, you can have these things at any given time.
Yeah.
There's not a geographical limitations. You have to worry about touring or getting on a bus or a truck or a train or a plane or whatever.
But also it's like, again, it's what that app is about. Being inclusivity, right? Making everyone involved. That's those kids are also part of a school.
Sure.
It's a different sort of sports. This difference, but they're also part of school. They're also doing something they really love. And I mean, a lot of people hate on like esports, but I mean, you go on Super Sport, you can find guys playing esports competitions and playing FIFA. I find myself, I'm at home watching someone on TV play a video game. Mm. And you're like, and you're getting intrigued by it. And you're like, hey, it's an actual skill. And it's something that's, like for me, it's like if kids are enjoying it, and kids, it's the interest behind it. We're gonna have to show it. I mean, that means if it's interest behind it, people are watching it. People are watching it. People want to see it. Mm-hmm. And there's interest behind it.
And it's a good mindset to have, because as much as you want to kind of dictate the sort of flow towards something as an owner of a platform, you've got to understand what people's eyeballs are going to and facilitate that.
Because if people are watching it, it means there's interest, right? And it's like, so how, also they also, for me, I was like, for some, like, I used to be so, you know, banana mind, like, I used to never watch netball. And, you know, like, this wasn't my thing. And I was like, you sort of, with now being sports schools, getting exposed to it more and actually watching it, now I'm like, you get excited for it. Like, oh man, it's actually a really cool sport. Like, I can see why I can use this. One day when I coach rugby again, I can actually use netball, sort of netball games, like open up space and like, oh, like, the, and like, now the game sort of like, and I think something like esports for me, the same is like, something I don't understand, you sort of learn more about it, watch it, embrace it, and then that's how it normally works, right? Because I mean, you can't be closed minded about these things.
No, of course not. Cooks, thanks so much for your time today. I think we're going to wrap it up there. I think there is so much on this platform. Obviously, you can take my combine idea, Cooks' combine. I think that'll be the best roadshow you could probably go on.
That'll be an awesome.
Imagine, like, you can just start by saying, we have authority, well, good authority, that someone in Kimberley can run the 40 meters in 3.9 seconds. Obviously, they can't. And then you go and you interview these people. Yeah. You get the backstory of the people, and you get on the timer, you get them to run.
Yeah, and you get them seeing, like you said, like this person, they said,
this sets the benchmark for 17-year-old kids around the country. Like, this is cool stuff. This is exciting.
Yeah, and I think it's like, you know, like, and kids like, kids love watching themselves. Kids love watching themselves. They love watching their mates do stuff. Like,
but this is all positive stuff. You're getting kids involved in sport. So for me, the state of school sport is in a very good place. If you have the ability to showcase them, it inspires them, it drives participation up. Yes, we've got the other side of it, that there's too much attention on youngsters, but they're going to have to deal with that if they want to be excellent.
Yeah, it's one of those things. But it's kids playing sports. I mean, it's
nothing better.
COVID's been rough, but seeing kids play sports, you go to schools on the weekend, it's buzzing. Kids are happy, you go watch the sixth play, and guys, it's buzzing. Like, everyone's happy. It was a rough 2 years of COVID, but now we had the whole initial, like, it's good to be back. Now it's like, okay, now we're moving forward. Now we're back to this is the new normal now. This is what we're doing now. We push forward, and it's exciting. It's so good to see kids playing sport.
Alrighty. Well, Cooks, I wish you the best of that. I'm sure you're going to keep working at it. And again, like, congrats, dude. Like, you really are creating something which I think is so perfect for you. And whenever I see someone who is following their passion and doing something that's good, and actually adding value, which you clearly are to Super Sport, then, dude, I'm very, very happy for you. Very proud of you.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Next week, we'll be back with, well, I don't know if I should throw it forward. I mean, I'm not that into it myself. Let's just take it one by one. These shows are going to be interesting. They're going to be informative. I have great guests lined up. I've got the next 4 shows lined up, and I think I'll just keep it a secret to you. So every time you listen, well, I'll be a new guest. Like I said, the reason I started this podcast is because I have incredible conversations with people like Cooks, people like Ngobile last week, and I want to bring that to general sort of conversations, because there's great conversations we're having in sport right now, there are positive conversations we're having in sport right now, and that is why we have the State of Sport here on Cliff Central.